I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, and stay tuned all afternoon. And we'll keep you updated throughout the day as we get more information on that officer-involved shooting in Salt Lake County. But right now, we want to get out to the phone line and bring in a New York Jets insider, Brian Costello from the New York Post and WFAN on the East Coast. Brian, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Brian, I'm curious from your perspective, when did the Jets really start to fall in love with Zach Wilson? Was that in the middle of the college football season, or did that occur over the past couple weeks and months?
No, I think it happened during the football season. You know, the Jets were winless for a long time last year. They started the year 0-13. So, you know, the focus was on Trevor Lawrence for most of the season here. And then the Jets won 2 games in December, and that gave the Jaguars the first pick. And so the Jets fans were very unhappy. But I think at that point, too, the front office shifted their focus into looking at the other quarterbacks. Obviously, it's a different year for scouting, nothing in person. And Zach's kind of ascension was sort of along the same lines of those months. And then, you know, obviously in the bowl game. And I think as they did more and more work, they really liked him. And I started hearing probably February that he was the guy that they really liked. And I think they just wanted to go through the process and see him in person at the pro day, since they hadn't been able to see him during the season in person. And that kind of confirmed their beliefs. And then they were ready to go ahead and move Sam Darnold after that.
Brian, why do you think the Jets pushed Zach Wilson in front of, like, Trey Lance and Justin Fields? Because Justin Fields was that guy going into the year, was like, it's going to go Lawrence, Fields, yeah. And now Wilson has slid in front of him. Why do you think that occurred?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know the answer for right now, because the Jets aren't saying much. You know, they're not pushing back on the Zach Wilson stuff, so I know that's the guy. But they're also not, you know, talking behind the scenes about what they love about him. They're going to wait till they make their pick. You know, I suspect it's the traits. I suspect they love, you know, his arm strength, his ability to move. What tips the scales for him over Justin Fields, I'm not sure. I think you've seen it kind of across the board, though, really, with all the draft analysts and the whispers and everything, that Wilson seems to be a pretty consensus number two for most people now. And I think some people still have Fields ahead of him. But it is interesting, because if you go back to the college football playoffs in that semifinal game when Fields had a great game against Clemson, the talk in New York then was, oh my gosh, Jets have to take Justin Fields, number two. And then he didn't play so well against Alabama. He had injured hip, and it seems like since then it's been more about Zach than about Fields. But I'm not 100% sure, guys, of what tipped the scales for Zach over Fields.
Jets beat reporter Brian Costello is our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. What was the buzz, Brian, in New York after Wilson's pro day performance from maybe Jets fans and just people covering the Jets and out in New York?
Yeah, that throw, the throw where he went to his left and threw to his right, was one that just wowed a lot of people. You know, there was a lot of, I think that opened some people's eyes into just how strong his arm is. And it was a good performance. I think there were some people who were just saying, okay, it's a pro day. Don't go overboard. And also a lot of Jets fans who did not want them to move on from Sam Darnold. And they were saying, oh, well, Sam could make that throw. And they were tweeting videos of Sam making similar throws, but not quite. I've never seen Sam throw that far rolling to his left. So it wasn't quite the same. But I think he impressed some people with what he was able to do. And again, for a lot of Jets fans, they haven't seen Zach Wilson. You know, this isn't a quarterback at Clemson or Alabama or Notre Dame or teams that are on, you know, are on TV in New York every Saturday. People are watching. BYU is not a team that's followed closely here. I think fans watched the bowl game because that came kind of when it became clear the Jets were picking number two and he was a candidate. But other than that, I don't think they've seen him play much.
Brian, what are your expectations for this new coaching staff, specifically Mike LaFleur's offensive system, and maybe how Zach could fit into that system?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be the Kyle Shanahan system that you've seen in San Francisco and some elements of the Mike Shanahan system going way back, where they're going to be a heavy zone run team and a lot of play action, a lot of pre-snap motion. It's a very quarterback-friendly offense. It's not super complicated. They cut things down. They cut the field in half a lot. They roll them out. They're going to take advantage of his athleticism, I think. So, I'm curious. I haven't seen anything yet, obviously. They haven't been on the field yet.
Right.
So, I'm curious to see when they get out there. But from everyone I talk to, you know, thinks this is a great system for a quarterback. Because, obviously, when he first got hired, the talk was, well, this could help Darnold. This could be a better system for Darnold. So, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this does with this. This offense has played in a lot of places now. Green Bay, obviously with LaFleur's brother. This was in Tennessee with Arthur Smith, and now it's going to be Atlanta with Arthur Smith. So this is kind of the hot offense in the NFL right now, and I'm interested to see what they can do with it.
You know, Brian, you mentioned earlier that there was some buzz in February that was building towards Zach Wilson being that top guy for the Jets. And when that buzz was kind of trickling out here in Utah that Wilson could go to the Jets. I know a lot of BYU fans are like, oh, no, the Jets. Like, they want to see Wilson go to the Niners because of the Steve Young connection and the success that a former BYU guy had with the Niners. Why have the Jets just not had success at quarterback, in your opinion?
How long you have? Look, it's a long, you know, depending on how far you want to go back, I'll go, you know, let's go through, like, Sanchez, that they were, you know, they had success with Sanchez when they had a really good team around him. You know, they got to the AFC Championship game twice. They had a great defense. They had a good running game. They gave him Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes. And after that, their roster started to fall apart. And, you know, it's there's been a lot of pressure on the quarterback, whether it was Geno Smith being drafted in the second round, and then Sam being drafted in the first round, number three overall. These guys have not had good teams around them, all of them. So that's been a big part of it. I mean, you look at the Jets' draft history over the last 10 years, and it's terrible. There's no one on this team that was drafted before 2017 right now.
Wow.
And the only guy left from 2017 is Marcus May, who they just put the franchise tag on. If you look at their first-round picks, they traded first-round picks from 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 now. They've traded away. Some of those guys can play, like Jamal Adams, and they traded him for other reasons, and Leonard Williams because they didn't want to pay them. But it's just been awful. The drafting has been awful, and that's really hurt these quarterbacks. And it's tough to make evaluations. The Darnold evaluation is tough because he did not have much around him. But, you know, so that's a big thing. And then they just have, you know, I think they haven't picked the right guys, too, and largely. You know, obviously Geno Smith is now a backup. Sanchez washed out after the Jets. He didn't really get a chance, and we'll see what Darnold can do in Carolina. But there are a lot of factors surrounding these guys, too, when they're here. They just haven't been set up for success. And now that this is Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager, to do a better job surrounding Zach Wilson with talent than he did with Sam Darnold.
Jets insider and reporter Brian Costello is our guest here for a few more moments on Cougar Sports Saturday. And you mentioned the trading away the picks and looking forward, the Jets have a tremendous amount of day one and day two picks to surround Zach Wilson or whoever it's going to be. Where do you think the Jets will go with their second first round pick and their early second round pick in the upcoming draft?
I think the beauty of it is, you know, the beauty of having such a bad roster as the Jets do going 2-14 last year is there's so many needs they have. They could go in a number of different directions. To me, cornerback is their biggest need. They don't have a lot there, but, you know, if you were to make a case for linebacker or guard or running back or wide receiver still, too, I mean, they signed one, but you can still make a case there. You can make a case that they should take those. And I also think, guys, they picked 23 overall, which was a pick from Seattle, and then they picked 34, which is the second pick in the second round. Those are tradable picks. There's always, you know, when you get into, like, 20 to 26 range, there's, like, one guy that teams fall in love with who might still be there that they're willing to move up for. New England had the 23 pick last year. They traded back with the Chargers. They took a linebacker, and they wanted to move up. Same thing, the second pick in the second round. You know, if you guys are doing a show on the Friday of the draft, the day after the first round, the talk that day is going to be, oh, you know, these guys slipped out of the first round. Oh, there's tons of teams that want to move up and get them, right? There's going to be Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, all those guys saying, teams are trying to move up to get these guys. Well, the Jets have the second pick in the second round, so they'd be the ones, you know, that could trade back possibly. So I think they have a ton of flexibility in those spots, and really you could, you know, throw a dart at a dartboard right now with positions on it, and the Jets need them. They don't have a lot on this roster right now, so they can go a lot of different directions.
And speaking of the Jets roster, Brian, kind of just a side note, you know, former BYU guy Harvey Lunge, I know he wasn't offered he's an unrestricted free agent right now. Is he expected to possibly be back with the Jets?
Probably not. I don't think. I say, you know, linebacker is the position that they're in the biggest transition of with the new coaching staff, guys. They ran a 3-4, and Harvey was kind of a 3-4 linebacker, both New England and here. Yeah. They're going to a 4-3. I'm not sure if he really fits that mold, so I think he's probably going to be moving on from the Jets.
Brian, you mentioned earlier that, you know, with BYU being on the West Coast, not all the games getting out on the East Coast. Do you have any questions for us about Zach? Because we've watched a lot of Zach Wilson, man.
Yeah, my biggest question, guys, and this is the problem. You asked about Jets quarterbacks. A big problem has been the offensive line for the Jets. They had a great offensive line with Mark Sanchez, and then it deteriorated over the years. And quarterbacks here are under a lot of pressure. I watched some Zach Wilson film from last year, and it looked like he had a pocket. They had a great offensive line, I guess, and the competition they were playing was not getting in his face. How is he when he has guys in his face and when he, you know, playing under pressure like that?
You want to take this one, Mitch?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, in 2019, you can go watch some of the games against USC in Tennessee. Yeah. He showed well, you know, and I think that Wilson, it's interesting with Zach because he's a guy that he's going to be a very confident guy. He's going to come in, and I think you're going to think, man, this guy's, he's got a lot of, you know, confidence in his abilities. But I think that he has shown success. I think that with his ability to throw the football under pressure. I think that BYU's offensive line, though, it was very young in those early years under Wilson. It was kind of like in 2018 all the way up to 2020, they all were in lockstep from freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and then they had that big breakout year last year, and all kind of just was in lockstep with one another, the O-line, the quarterback, everything. So I think that Wilson, if he can get the offensive line, though, then and the pieces, he's got the ability to do some big things. I mean, it was interesting with our show. There was a lot of conversation about, you know, the captains, him not being that captain.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask about that. I was going to ask about that, too, the captain thing. Yep.
The captain stuff, he was, you know, he didn't get that because the only reason why that didn't happen was because they were still deciding who was going to be the quarterback. It wasn't official that he was going to be the starting quarterback. Once he got the starting quarterback job title a week or two later, then he officially became the captain. So it was almost just like a little right. It was just the timing of when they officially announced the press release. That all kind of was what happened there. But he was just a really good quarterback, and he's always had the ability. From day one, his first spring practice, I drew comparisons to Baker Mayfield, and I got scolded because he hadn't played a game yet. But I was like, this guy's got big-time ability, and he's shown that. And I think he's got his best football still ahead of him, in my opinion.
And Brian, I would add to that, too. There was a lot of seniors that were named captains, and Zach was not a senior, and he was injured a lot the year before. So I think it was you got to win that job and prove it. And then once that happened, he goes on, has that big year. And I would also add, too, to what Mitch said, I think Zach is such a student of the game I think there's a lot of times where there is pressure, but you don't see it because he recognizes it, checks it down, gets out of the play, does different things. He took a tremendous step forward in that category last year as a junior, just recognizing what was happening before it happened and knowing where to go with the football.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I also thought BYU is a place there's a lot of older players, too, with the captain thing. You know, guys that have done missions and come back, and
right.
maybe those some of those guys were captains over 21-year-olds, might have been 20 at that point, junior. So, yeah, that created some buzz here a little while ago, the captain thing, and that seemed – I saw Rex Ryan brought it up the other day. People keep bringing it up, so that's interesting.
Yeah. You can follow him on Twitter, at Brian Koz. He's from the New York Post, New York Jets beat reporter, and also WFAN. Brian, appreciate the time. I know there's going to be a lot of BYU fans reading your bylines now, and hope to talk again soon.
Yes, thanks for having me, guys.
It's Brian Costello here on KSL News Radio. Got to take a break. We'll talk more Zach Wilson coming up next here on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.